It is an honor to be here. I was here last year, and just came and attended, sat by Rick and his wife, and man, the worship here, you know how blessed you are here? I mean, you know what, I mean, God has his hand on this place. And I tell you, that introduction just was humbling, and it did remind me of another person who I knew for over 25 years. Rick and I go way back because of Kingdom Bound and his own music ministry, and his band now played out at the festival, and Pastor Rob preached at Life Fest last year. But it reminded me, and this is actually how it happened, this friend who knew me for 25 years introduced me to Colorado, and wasn't as personal, but this is what he said. He said, today we have with us Bob Lance. Bob speaks to 500,000 students a year. He has co-authored 6 books, Digny Revolution in 18, 2 that are out in the lobby today. It stands for the movement to stand up for the value of every person. He's the president of Life Promotions, runs one of the largest Christian festivals, Life Fest, and now in Music City. And he said, I knew Bob when he was just speaking to junior high kids. Would you please welcome Bob Lenz? I didn't know what to do, because I still speak to junior high students. Now, I know he was trying to be nice. I think he was like saying, Bob's gotten a little better. We can trust him with a real audience now. Adults. Now, I don't mind adults much. But I like speaking to adults because when they don't like it, they just do taxes in their head. You know, youth will tell you when they don't like it. But why do I still speak to junior high students? Here's why. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, that says this, go into all the world and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I will be with you even to the end of the earth. That's called the Great Commission. Can I point something out? That's the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. That's not a suggestion. That's what the church is supposed to be about. That's what we as followers of Jesus are supposed to be about. And me and Pastor Rob had a Zoom call, and he's talking about the refocusing on discipleship making here. And the disciples making disciples that make disciples. That it's about discipleship making. In this whole series of the gospelized life, the central life of the gospel, how we're supposed to be living out. And this is supposed to be part of it. And let me just tell you this, evangelism and discipleship, we're never supposed to get divorced. Do you hear me? Christian education, right? ED, evangelism and discipleship together. You can't make disciples without evangelism. You can't have disciples without evangelism or evangelism without discipleship. Amen? Amen. Will we be part of fulfilling the Great Commission? One of the last things Jesus said to us, we're supposed to be about making disciples. Now, I was youth pastor 7 years before I went on the road full time. And it was a Friday night, and I got a call from one of the youth in our high school. And he was a football player, which I liked. Lived 30 miles away from Green Bay Packers, sorry. Love the Titans. More when we win. But this guy goes, Pastor Bob, I have a friend over at my house, and I really think he wants to come to Christ. You have to come over. I said, that's awesome, but I'm going to bed. He said, you didn't hear me. My friend wants to come to Christ. I said, that's awesome, but I'm only a part-time youth pastor, and I already put in my 60 hours. I'm going to bed. And then he goes, Pastor Bob, it's your job. You have to come. Now I was ticked, because now not just the lead pastor and the elders are telling me my job description. Now a 16-year-old lineman is telling me my job description. And sometimes, I'm sorry, but sometimes I just want to pull a scripture on somebody. You know what I mean? Have you ever done that? So I pull out this scripture. I said, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 says, to the church God gave them teachers, pastors, evangelists, prophets for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. If you don't know how to lead them to Christ, I didn't do my job. Good night. And I hung up on him. He was so ticked at me. But can I tell you the coolest part? That next Sunday morning, he walked into church with a brand new believer by his side. And guess who led him to Christ? Not the pastor, not the youth pastor, not Billy Graham. People today, Billy Graham, who's that? They don't even know the greatest evangelist ever lived. But you know what we're supposed to do? That was his responsibility, not the pastor's. We think that it's the pastor's job, that it's the evangelist's job, that it's the paid staff job, that it's the elder's job. No. You know, here's the sad thing. 9 out of 10 followers of Christ, 9 out of 10 have never led another person to Christ. But they say, well, it's not my gift. It's not where I'm called to. No, please hear me. If you don't want to share this, like, there's no guilt here today, okay? No condemnation. I'm not trying to guilt you into this. But if Jesus really is your life, if that's what we're talking about, nothing else but him, be our life, be exalted, don't you want to share that? John 17:3, that's where life fest, life promotions. This is life. To know you, the one true God, and your son Jesus. Not in just what your name is like, not in what your clothes look like, not in how much you own. No, those aren't bad, but it's not life. Because if the world is giving it to you, the world can take it away. But if Jesus gives you life, nobody can take it away. But that's what we want to share. But you know what? I think where the problem was is during the 80s, okay? Do you remember the spiritual gift analysis test? Where you fill in the questionnaire to see what spiritual gifts you have, right? And we said that evangelism was a gift. No, please hear me. I don't have the gift of giving, so I don't tithe. Just because I don't have the gift of giving doesn't mean I shouldn't tithe. And even if evangelism was a gift, we're all called to share the good news. But I contend with you, and elders, look this up, prove me wrong. I don't think evangelism is a gift. It says that the evangelist is the gift. You know what that means? I'm your gift. You may not like your gift. You may want to send it back to Amazon. But please hear me. The church has stopped. Attractional ministry is okay. Don't stop it. Please hear me. Don't stop it. But let's get missional. Let's get missional. Let's have our whole life be about the gospel, to live it. And here's why. Let me do something here once. I just had foot surgery, so I'm a little ginger, but what's your name?
Zion.
That's a cool name. I get Bob. Say it backwards. Bob. Okay. How old are you?
14.
Awesome, dude. All right. Like your shorts, too. They're cool. Just thought I'd add that. Do you know Jesus?
Yes, sir.
You're a follower of Jesus? Awesome. Otherwise, this would have been really awkward. Okay, so, and we, now look, they're getting lights on us. They're good. How about a hand for the technology guys? Yeah. Okay, you're 14. So, I know we can't judge another person's heart, but as far as you know, do you know anybody that, as far as you can tell, doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, doesn't go to church? Right, okay. So, then I'm not asking you to win the whole world. I'm just asking you to do this. Live out your faith, not just on a Sunday morning, but live it out when you're at school, live it out when you're your friends, live it out when you're at home, live it out when you're sad, live it out when you're doing good. That's called being a follower of Jesus, a gospelized life. And then when somebody says, then tell me about this hope inside of you, then just say, hey, I'm not a weirdo. Well, maybe I am. But I have a relationship with Jesus. And it's more than religion. It's more than rules. I have a friendship with the God who created me. And this guy loved me so much, he gave his life and rose from the dead. Just for one, just one person. And to the point where you say, well, how do I come? And just tell him, all I gotta do is receive. It's not information in your head. It's saying, Jesus, I want a personal relationship. You know, John 1:12, to many as receive him, give he the right to become children of God. Just one, okay? And then for the next 6 months, you hang around them. And when things are tough, you pray with them to say, you know what? I can't do this on my own power. Like salvation, I can't save myself. Like God is there and he'll walk us through this. He's with Rick right now walking through this tough week. And no matter what you're going through, mountaintops or valleys, he's there. And then you're going, but I don't know what to do. Okay, let's look at the words, the instruction book, right? And you know what? You like music? There's something, music is awesome. I mean, we're in Nashville. But you know what? There's something different from music and then worship. Because it takes music and beautiful, awesome music, but it makes it for the ultimate of worship to God. And let's hang out. And you know what we do at our church really well? We eat. We're having barbecue, then we're having a grill out. I like that. Down by the barn. You know what that's called? Discipleship. Do life with them. Just one person. And if you did that for the next 6 months, one person, and then you each took one more person and lived it out and shared Christ with them and discipled them for 6 months, guess how long before the whole world would know Christ? Less than 18 years. Less than 18 years. And yet here we are, 2,000 years since Jesus came. And here's a number I want you to know is 18 today. And yet here we are, 2,000 years since Jesus came, and less than 18% of youth under the age of 18 are in our churches today, even in the Bible Belt. Is that okay with you? Oh, it's not about church. I know they say, it's not about the church. Yes, it is. The church is the body of Christ. It's not the building, it's not the institution, but it is about the church. If you want to break it down even further, 4 out of 5 people under the age of 18 worldwide do not have a relationship with Jesus. The job's not done. Just one. Will you be that person who lives it out? Will you have a gospelized life? At work, at home, no matter what you do, that we live it out. That's what we need to do. Here's what I want. Are you willing today? I have a challenge. Are you willing to fulfill the Great Commission? If yeah, say yes. Are you willing to fulfill the Great Commission?
Yes.
Okay, here's what we have to do. We have to refocus towards youth. Refocus towards why? I'm glad you asked. 3 reasons. Number one, 2 out of 3 people who come to Christ, 2 out of 3 people who have a relationship with Jesus today said they came to Christ before the age of 18. Now, other studies, I took the lowest, 2 out of 3. Some are up to 85 to 90%. 75% of that percentage happened before the age of 14. So we really need to, my latest book is called 18. It is out in the lobby, and I'm gonna unapologetically ask every single person here to go and buy one. Here's why. Did you see the price of gas? I have a boat, and we're not gonna be able to use it this summer unless you go and buy my book. No, my wife said, Bob, let's not take one penny from this. Let's use all of it to get into public schools and bring people to the hope of Jesus Christ. And so what I'm asking you to do is go, yeah, well, that's my wife, not me. I wanted boat money, okay? But we need to win this next generation, amen? All right, so here's what I want you to do. If this is true, let's turn and see if Scripture validates it. Because no matter what I say, no matter how loud I say it, unless you can find in Scripture, don't follow it. We need to be people of the book. That's what disciples are, right? We need to be people of the book, gospelized. So turn with me to Luke chapter, guess what chapter? 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 15, it says this. Jesus called the children to himself, and he said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to the elders." So sorry, dude, you're a good guy, but it's not what it says. All right? I misread it. The kingdom of God belongs to the ordained and paid staff. The kingdom of God belongs to the biggest tither. The kingdom of God belongs to the worship leader with the skinniest jeans. Sorry, dude. You know what they said to me? Just because your jeans are tight, don't make them skinny jeans. No, you know what it says? The kingdom of God belongs to the children. We got to stop playing church. It's time to be the church. My premise today is this. If we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, which you said yes to, we have to refocus on youth, because 2 out of 3 come to Christ before the age of... I was at one small church in country church. Actually, it's not small. 90% of churches are under 100 people in America, okay? So this one, I preached at this more rural church, and I said, "How many people in worship this morning?" And they said, "About 200. I said, "Really? It looked like more than that." And the pastor looked at me and said, "Oh, we don't count children." I'm like, "What? You don't count children? Why not? Are children important to Jesus? Should they be important to us?" Yes. I was at one church, and it was more a... What's the word nowadays? A mega church? Don't get freaked out by that word. This is a mega shirt. All right? It just means big. And I'm not trying to criticize different styles. Styles are styles. And different churches have different strategies. That's okay. But at this church, they would sing 2 worship songs, and then they would release the children. So I just said to, I asked one lady, I said, "Excuse me, why do you release the children after a couple songs?" And she said, "So that the adults can enjoy the service." I said, "Ah, that's awesome. So it's babysitting." She said, "No, no, it's free babysitting." Now, please hear me. I do want to say it is not the church's responsibility to win or disciple your child to Christ. It is, number one, the parents. It is the parents' responsibility. The church should come alongside to equip, strengthen, and reinforce what you're doing. So I believe in Sunday school. I believe in Vacation Bible School. But then what do we got to do something, because so many people see children's ministry or youth pastors as a stepping stone to the real pastor. We got to change that. Now, if you're called to be a lead pastor or an associate, I'll pray for you. Then God help you, and amen, and fulfill your calling. But if 2 out of 3 people come to Christ before the age 18, it's time to elevate those positions again, to say that it matters for the kingdom of God, that it's not just extra. If you're a Sunday school teacher, thank you. Can we give them a round of applause? I know that they still need help in Vacation Bible School coming up. Superheroes, right, this year? Superheroes. It matters. We had one guy in our church. He was a pretty good, I'm sorry, I'm not slamming Wisconsin, but he was a pretty good musician for Wisconsin. I'm sorry, I come down to Nashville, and the people are just doing, it's a restaurant with 3 tables. And this guy's like, "Oh!" Right? Because everybody comes in and went, so your worship team, give them a round of applause, the effort. And you know what's cool? They are talented. I'm going all over here. But they are talented. But I can tell that they put worship ahead of just performance. They use their performance, but they worship first. and it's beautiful. But a guy in our church played at a bunch of cover bands, played all over, pretty popular in our area. And he said, Bob, I think God's calling me to use my gifts of music even for the church. I'm like, that's awesome. He goes, yeah, I just want to give it to the church to be used. I'm like, that's great. He goes, that's what I thought. But I shared it with the elders, and the elders said they want me to play for Sunday school for the kids. He said, what an insult. He said that to the wrong guy. After I hit him, guys, I'm just kidding. I'm a Christian. I helped him up. I said, an insult. What an honor. What a responsibility. What a privilege. Please, if we're gonna win this next generation, we need to start refocusing on students 18 and under. Why? 2 out of 3 come to Christ before the age of 18. Are you getting the message? Okay. Number 2 is this. The second reason to fulfill the Great Commission, focus on youth. Number 1, 2 out of 3 come to Christ before that age. Number 2, the enemy is targeting this age group. Would you say that with me? The enemy is this age group. When they start looking at what is popular today, again, I'm not against attractional ministry. We need to do both and, not one or the other. But to make everything seeker sensitive and not see the cost of discipleship is a mistake in the church. God has called us to be full-fledged. Well, wait. God has called us to equip people to be passionate servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? 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 And sometimes you have to go that extra step. I want to show you another scripture. It's in Leviticus. There's a book. When's the last time you did a study on Leviticus? But Leviticus chapter... You can't make that up, dude. Leviticus 18:21 says this. Do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech, and by it profane the name of the Lord your God. Please, there is an enemy. The Bible is still true. There is still right and wrong. There is still God and Satan. There's still heaven and hell. And we have an enemy. And they are targeting, number 1, our youth. He has come to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, when I go into public schools, I can't start with a Bible verse. I don't share Jesus. Even if I'm in Texas and they say, it's my school, I'm the principal, you can share Jesus here. I don't, because I think we've taken advantage of our dominance as Christians. And even though I disagree with the interpretation of church and state there, we've won a lot of battles and lost the war. Now in this post-Christian culture, we have to show respect in a new way and to show them. So a lot of times I'll start with, it doesn't sound real spiritual, but a most embarrassing moment, because they come in and they think they're gonna be preached at. And they come in instead and talk about a guy and a girl at a movie, and the guy's nervous because it's his first date and he has to go to the restroom. So he goes to the restroom, he comes back. He's a real gentleman. By the way, that word is disappearing in America. Right? I only see it on the restroom door. A lot of wimps in society won't stand up for what they believe is right. A lot of macho guys think it's not manly to show an emotion or a tear, an embrace. But there's not a lot of gentle, compassionate, sensitive men who are gentle enough to be strong and strong enough to be gentle. Yet every time I say that, there's girls' eyes in the audience that are like, where is he? Guys, let's be gentlemen. He was. Went to the restroom, came back, sat down, no problem. Realized his fly's open. I'm sorry, Sunday morning, I hope this is appropriate. You can't zip your zipper up sitting in the theater seat. What are you gonna do? Say, excuse me for a minute. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll ask her if she wants some popcorn or a Coke. If she says yes, put my hand in my zipper, stand up, zip it up, walk away, no problem. You want some popcorn or a Coke? Said, sure. So he puts his hand in the zipper, stands up, zips it up, no problem, starts walking, all of a sudden, the girl in front of him, her hair. Her hair is stuck. What can you do? Did you ever get something stuck in your zipper? Yeah, I'm sorry, here's your hair back. What could the girl do? She could walk out like this. True story, I just heard the commotion, came down the aisle with a flashlight. Saw what's going on, turned on the lights, turned off the movie, and in front of a packed theater, got a pair of scissors and cut her hair from his zipper. When it was done, they all stood up and gave him a standing ovation. I would love to hear your embarrassing moment afterwards. So I've collected these. This is my 40th year of ministry. And I'm at a camp, and another football player, I don't know what football players like about me, but the kid came up and said, I have an embarrassing moment. I said, tell, I love these. He says, mine's not funny. He said, 2 weeks before I came to camp, I found out my parents were getting divorced. Bob, I know it happens to a lot of people, but it still hurts. And here I am, a big football player, and I'm just crying and crying. Until a friend who went through the same thing was there for me, and he was really helping, until 2 days before I came to camp, my dad came to me and said, the reason him and mom were getting divorced, he found a new girlfriend, a younger woman who he just wanted to start a new life with. He said, and I talked to your mom, and she says she can handle the girls, your two sisters, but she doesn't think she can handle you. And I just want to start a new life with my girlfriend. So we called social services, and we're seeing if we can get foster care until you're 18. Christian, what do you tell them? He said, you know how embarrassing it is that your own parents are in court because neither of them want you? The enemy is targeting that group and saying that they don't matter and their life doesn't matter. It's not new though, right? Remember God's people in slavery? Remember the Israelites in Egypt? And they start prospering even in slavery, even in the horrible, there's another sermon there. You can be blessed even when things are going bad. And they were prospering so bad, they said, we got to stop them. So they targeted the children, right? They were throwing them into the Nile. When Jesus was born and the wise men came and looking for the star to find the king, they stopped at Herod and said, have you seen him, born the king of the Jews? He said, no, but when you find him, tell me because I want to worship him too. Did Herod want to worship him? No, because how many kings can you have in your life? Just one. And they were warned through a dream, so they went another way. And Herod went out and killed all the boys that were under the age of 3. Do you believe me that the enemy is targeting this group? So back to Leviticus 18, Molech. He's a god in the Old Testament. Now this god had a body of a human and a head of a bull. And he had fire. And you had a sacrifice to him if you wanted your life to go good. Would it be a stretch to maybe say the bull is representing Walmart today? Wall Street today? Walmart. How's the stock doing there? Now I'm not an Occupy Wall Street guy, but I think the church has bowed down to the mighty dollar instead of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And if you wanted your life to go, we had an offering here today. You're the first church that I saw passing buckets since COVID, you know? So I sanitized mine. But if you wanted your life to go good with Molech, there's a God up in front, and you had to come and sacrifice your children. And it would roll down, look it up on even on the internet. They got pictures of what they were. And the parents, especially the moms, can you imagine the cries? Could you imagine the smell? Could you imagine? But if I want my life, I want health, I want prosperity, I want to be blessed. But then because of the cries, you know what they would do? They would play the drums louder and louder to cry out the cries of the youth. You're like, we would never do that. It's not the same thing happening today. Today in America, 1,800 teenagers under 18 will attempt suicide. Here's one time I hate 18. 18 will complete it today. And during COVID, suicide hotline calls went up 800%. And we want to sit and debate politics? I'm sorry if I'm stepping on toes, but the enemy is real. And it would be so easy right now to preach against the world instead of letting the Holy Spirit convict us. Because you know what I think our drum is today? The drum of busyness. More, bigger, faster. When's the last time you took a real Sabbath? When's the last time you just didn't grab something when you're eating, sat down and had a family meal? I joked about the barbecue. I like them. It's time. So now my own daughter, when she was young, Amber said to me, "Daddy, why do you like speaking more than being with us?" What was I gonna say? Because they clap. Last week at school, I got a standing ovation. If just once when I came home, you and your mom would get off that couch, stand up and applaud, I would come here more. Do you think I said that? No. We have a saying in our family. I had to look at my priorities. As a family, we will sacrifice. But we will never sacrifice our family. Our God is the only one that didn't call for sacrifice. What about Isaac? But he stopped him. He wants to be number one. But you can't earn God's love. I like, if I had a church, I would call it like Grace Chapel. Which proves it's not on your merit. It's on his. Will you fulfill the Great Commission? By refocusing on youth. Why? Two reasons so far. One more and we're done. Number one, 2 out of 3 people come to Christ before the age of 18. Number two, the enemy is that group. And number three is this. It's the heart of Jesus. Just one more verse. Luke chapter, for real. Luke chapter 18, verse 5. 5 and 6, it says this. Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name, Jesus said, you're welcoming me. But if any one of you causes one of these little ones to stumble, to sin, it'd be better to have a millstone wrapped around your neck and thrown into the depths of the sea. Those are heavy words. But you know who said them? Jesus. You know how I can tell? They're in red. Jesus said, it's better to throw a millstone and drown in the depth of the sea than make one of these little ones to stumble. Those are heavy words. You know what those are? Those are, you play Texas Hold'em or watch it on TV? Those are all in. All in words. I'm asking you, as a follower of Jesus, are you going to centralize the gospel for your life? The Great Commission. Are you willing to be all in? If you're a businessman or woman in any way here, would you raise your hand today? Okay, ma'am, if 2/3 of your business came from one group, would you ignore that group? No. Would you just tolerate that group? Put up with that group? Or would you focus, encourage, develop, nurture? 2/3. Listen. 2 out of 3 people come to Christ before what age? But can I tell you what the national average in America for church budgets that go to youth 18 and under? Less than 15%. So are we more into entertaining adults or fulfilling our mission? World missions to win the world for Christ. 2/3 will come to Christ before what age? Can I tell you what percent of world mission finances go to youth under the age of 18? Less than 10%. I love this church. You have a Christian school. You drive in and it says where the youth are meeting in the barn. I love what you're doing. Continue. But every one of us is called to fulfill the Great Commission to go the next step. Let me close with this. Speaking in Pennsylvania, and I was with a bunch of youth pastors, and this came from a Methodist pastor. You talk about a denomination that started on fire, the Wesley brothers, right? And a denomination. But he told me a story. They're having a junior high youth retreat, a lock-in. I mean, students, if you're here today, I love you. But junior, it's a weird age. One time I was speaking to 500 students, junior high. Three of them hit puberty while I was speaking. They're like, ah, right, zit. Just hold on. It's awesome, but it's tough. But they were doing youth group night, junior high, no sleep, and they had Red Bull. I'm like, really? But you know what they did? They had games, they had small group, they had worship. 15 students in the little district of the Methodist Church came to Christ. But they were so excited to come in and they wanted the front row. And somebody was leaning against the door and they broke the door, the lock. Cost $35 to fix the lock. Somebody broke the rules and took a soda, a Coke in, and they spilt on the carpet and they had to hire a carpet cleaner. Now, adults that haven't heard me before, go and look at my program. We talk about respect for property, for adults, for authority. But you know what happened? The elders got together because of a $35 lock and a stain in the carpet, and said that they couldn't have the youth retreat there the following year. With that said, I hope you have the most broken doors and the most dirty carpet than any church in Tennessee. We'll teach respect. Here's what I want to leave you with. What are you giving your time, your talents, and your treasures? You're like, Bob, I'm too old to touch youth life. My own daughter said to me, Dad, you're not cool. You never were. So don't try to be. Just keep loving, Dad. Just keep loving, Dad. I'm asking you, Vacation Bible School, Sunday school, youth group, small groups, mentoring, tithing, to this local church. Top of that, we would love some volunteers. You guys did such a good job with the prayer team last year. We need more help volunteering at LifeFest this year. But I'm gonna ask you to pray with me. Will you fulfill the Great Commission you already said? Yes. Will you refocus on youth? Yes. For three reasons, don't lose these. Number one, 2 out of 3 people come to Christ before the age of 18. The enemy is? And it is the heart of God. Join what God is blessing. Don't ask him to bless what you're doing. Father God, now I ask you, this church is blessed of you. And it's going forward with a vision of discipleship and evangelism of the Great Commission. Fulfill that through them like never before. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Bob. Does anyone feel like they could run through a wall right now? So don't do that. Instead of running through a wall, you can go out there and to Bob's table and get more information about LifeFest and. I used to be the high school pastor for about 7 or 8 years here. I'm the family pastor now. I get to work with all of our teams that do the ministry that Bob is talking about, which he used the same phrasing that we use, because we're coming alongside parents. We do think it's the responsibility of parents to love and disciple their kids. And so it can't live here. We can't do all the work, right? So we want to partner with and come alongside families. And so if the Holy Spirit is stirring in your heart to get involved in how that's happening here, because there's so many ways that you can impact the next generation and to reach them before they're 18. But if you're going, man, what can I do? Just pull your phone out and take a picture of not that slide, but the one they're going to put up in just a second, and get involved in our kids' ministry, middle school ministry, high school ministry, special needs ministry. They do an incredible job of pointing everybody at exactly what Bob is talking about. You guys ready to get after it, church? All right, love y'all. Have a great week.